This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
We can do this all day, because that's what we're going to do forever and ever and ever through eternity in heaven. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. Put your hands together as we welcome my friend, my brother, Pastor Wole Ogunaike, a.k.a. Papa. Pastor Papa.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thought the choir was going to sing or something. Oh, they have. You guys are good. So let's put our hands together for them. All right. Can I see the time? How many of you are ready for the word? So you guys can go sit down. Don't worry. Don't let me sing today. Let's get into the word. How many people are ready for God's word today? All right. It's a privilege to preach God's word. And to all the people testifying, God bless you all. Sorry I cut your time. You know, but the Lord has seen your heart. Amen. I think I was here in June last year with my wife, and it was really good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your people. Lord, I ask that you speak to your people today. Lord, I ask that they will hear you clearly. And I ask you to anoint me afresh to do a great job, and the devils be terrified. Jesus be glorified, and all the saints be edified. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, title my message is How to Develop Unshakable Faith. In the end times, what you need is faith. Now, in four places, I'm sure you know. So you write it down, Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Bible says out of mouth of two or three, every truth is established. Now, that means in this end time, what you and I are going to use to overcome any challenge that the devil will bring across our way is what? Is what? This is the victory that overcome the world, even our what? Now, write this down, Luke 22:31 to 32. Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. To show you how important that is, he said, I've prayed for you that your what? Your faith. In this end time, how many of you know that people's faith are failing them? And most people don't even understand what faith is anyway, really. But it's so simple, and that's what today, what I want to show you is how you can develop unshakable faith, even in the face of any opposition. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Of course, there's a place again, just write it down, Luke 18. How many of you know that story, the unjust woman? The unjust judge, sorry. Yeah, the unjust judge. You know, in the final stage in Luke 18:8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith? You know what that tells me? God is asking, are there going to be people that will be standing on my word, even if you don't see the physical evidence in the natural? Are there going to be people that will not be afraid? Are there going to be people that will trust me? Because the greatest cry in the heart of God is to be believed. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
All right, today, how do you develop unshakable faith? Romans. I want to show you something in Romans chapter 4. Is the guy there? Are you there? The guy for me, Romans, quickly, so that I'll be able to stay with time. Oh, it's not showing? Oh, Romans 4, start from verse maybe 19. Yeah, what do you have there? Okay, let's go back up to verses 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and called those things that be not as though they were. Right? 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. 19. And being not weak in faith. I mean, who are they talking about here? Abraham, not Christians, Abraham. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Can you see that?
Abraham didn't consider his own body now dead, and he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, 20. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How many of you know that promises of God can actually be very big? I mean, at times when you look at it, I mean, look at you now, you didn't have a job for 2 months, and then you stood, and at the end, God gave you a job, right? And somebody was encouraging you, don't worry, sister, God has done it. And in your head, you're like, done what? God has done something I can't see. He staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. 21. Being fully persuaded. Everybody say, being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded. How many of you know that as Christians today, the reason why we don't walk by faith, the reason why we don't trust God, is because we're not fully persuaded. And that's what I want to show you today. If you're going to follow me on the journey, it's going to take us, but I will keep to time. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to what? 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for what? So Abraham was fully persuaded. Can I have Genesis 15, please? Genesis 15. We're talking about Abraham now. I need to show you something there. I mean, this is the father of faith. Now, look at it, everybody. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I'm thy shield and exceeding great reward. Verse 2, and Abraham said, everybody. Sorry, does this look like the same guy we read about? I mean, is this the same Abraham that we're talking about in Romans 4? No, maybe you're not catching it. This is somebody doubting the Lord here. And it's called the father of faith. So there's hope for you if you doubt. I mean, look at this guy. The guy we read, I just showed you in Romans 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Was he strong in faith here?
No.
Was he strong in faith here?
No.
Was he giving glory to God here? Okay, verse 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Verse 4.
And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Go on.
And he brought him forth and said, look towards the heaven, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall the seed be. Now, how many of you know the Lord is stuck in here, right? Good. Verse 6. And they believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. The same thing we read in Romans 4. Do you understand? Okay. He counted it for righteousness. Verse 7. And he said unto the Lord, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of the house of Chaldees to give this land to you to inherit. 8. Everybody read. With all the word and the promises that God gave him.
God appeared to him and said, hey, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. This is that. I mean, there's so much plan for you, dude. I mean, you're part of my program. I mean, you're the father of many nations. Come out. Look at the stars. Look at these.
And this is the question Abraham, the same man in Romans 4, began to ask. And the Lord God, whereby shall I know that shall inherit this? Has God ever given you any promise that at times you wonder, God, I know you got my back. Everybody keeps testifying, but God, this is way above my head. Anybody here? Okay. At times you wonder, God, I mean, sure you're going to do this? That's exactly what Abraham was doing here. The same man they called the father of faith. And now you're seeing him here. He's the father of doubt and unbelief. Turn to your neighbor and say, even if you have doubt in your head, let faith be in your heart. And God's going to see you through. Now, how many of you are interested in knowing what happened to this Abraham in Genesis 15 that was doubting, and the same Abraham in Romans 4 that was no longer afraid? Anybody ready to know?
Yes.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
Are you sure you want to know?
Yes.
What made this guy that is doubting here, the guy that is saying, you have not given me any seed, he's not saying I'm a father of many nations, the guy that can't see the promises of God, and later in his years, in Romans 4, we're reading, persuaded, fully persuaded. Anybody ready? You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Look at the next thing God did. 9. And he said unto him, take me and heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Yeah, go on. And he took it unto him, all these things, divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against one another, but the birds he divided not. Yes. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. You know, to you guys don't understand all these three heifers, she-goats, and all these things. I mean, it's like, what does all this mean? Let me now finish it for you. Are you ready? Yes. Do you know what God did here? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Abraham was doubting. He didn't know whether God was going to keep his promise. And all these things that God began to say, these are the emblems of cutting blood covenant. You know what God did here? He cut a blood covenant with Abraham. Covenant is the oldest form of arrangement that cannot be broken even to the seventh generation. So God wanted, you see, there's so many things you read in the Bible that you guys don't understand. I need two brothers to quickly come. My friend, come. Come here, you stay here. And then, sorry, sir, I'll use you. I'm still within time, so you guys look at me. Guess what? God said, Abraham, you're doubting me, right? I got plans for you. So God gave him a promise. And Abraham said, how shall I know? I mean, how am I going to know that you're going to do what you said? And God said, okay, get me all those things, and let's cut a blood covenant. You guys don't understand because, you know, in this generation, I mean, it's cutting blood covenant again. I mean, when you see the blood, you just run. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. So what God said is that, okay, you get me these things, and between me and you, we're going to cut a blood covenant. That's why they cut it into two. They did everything. If you get back home, you go read it. Got to a stage, the Bible said there was a dark whatever that came and passed in between the covenant. Now, what does it mean to cut covenant? Let me give you an example. In Africa, covenant is deep. So let's say this is village A. Everybody say village A.
Village A.
All right, so village A, guess what? Now, write this down. Covenant is cut to eliminate weaknesses. That's the reason for covenant. So village A, this man, let's say he can fight. He's a warrior. Everybody say warrior.
Warrior.
Now, guess what? He doesn't know how to farm. So they're always very hungry. And then you, village B. Everybody say village B.
Village.
Okay, so village B, they can farm even in the desert. So there's no problem with food. But guess what? They can't fight. So village C would always come and rush them in the time of harvest because they can't fight. But they would take their food away. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Good. So they decided, let's cut a covenant. Let's join the two villages together to eliminate the weaknesses. So what's this one's weakness? It kind of, thank you. So they will choose representatives from the villages. The two sides will come together, and then there will now be a promise. Everybody say promise. Okay, so he's going to represent the village and says, okay, I represent village A, and I enter into covenant with you today. That's why when a man and a woman marry, what do you give yourselves? Word is covenant, but most people don't know. That's why they use the word cut. Cut covenant. So he's going to say, on behalf of village A, we are warriors. Now, you know what? I swear to you today, bro, that anytime you have anybody fight you to the last blood, I promise to defend you to the last blood. That means nobody's going to deal with you. All you need to do is just call for us. Everybody say, call for us. Okay, so he represents the whole village. He comes out. And then he comes out and says the same thing. I represent village B, and on behalf of our village, we can cook, we can farm, and your generation to the seventh generation will never go hungry. And they will say, even if I don't have food to eat, I'll make sure you have food to eat. Am I communicating?
Yeah, yeah.
So they give themselves the promise, and then guess what? They now cut their hands and mix the blood together. Hello? Now, when they do that, they drink it together, and they now call village AB. What did I say?
Village
now, please, this is the strength of this brother. He's the jacket of a warrior. Can you remove your jacket? Thank you. Sir, remove yours. Thank you. Now, I want both of you to back the crowd. No, remove it and hold it in your hand. Now, as a covenant brother, guess what? They now exchange the jacket. Now you wear it. Now you wear it. And then turn your back. Now you guys don't understand. Catch it. Catch this. Catch this. Catch this. Don't worry. Don't worry. He's gonna, don't worry. I'll help you. Oh, yeah? Just put your hand. Don't worry. Or should I give you mine? Uh-huh. All right. Just manage it like that. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. Back the crowd. Back the crowd. Now, guess what? What are you guys seeing? Now, there's been an exchange. Everybody say exchange.
Exchange.
Now, you know the funny thing? This coat represented who? Village.
Eight.
And village A is a what?
Warrior.
So anybody that touches this jacket, who is it touching?
Warrior.
Thank you. And anybody that touches this jacket, who are they touching?
Farmer.
Now, guys, look up, everybody. This is exactly what God did. Covenant was caught between Jesus Christ, representing the whole human race, and God. That's why when you read, him that knew no sin was made sin. So the cloth upon humanity, which was sin, was removed and was put upon Christ. And the jacket of righteousness that was on him was put upon us. Him that knew no sin became sin. And him that knew no righteousness became righteous by the reason of the blood covenant. Now watch, watch. You are just catching something. Now guess what? This guy is who? A warrior. But he's not wearing the jacket of a farmer. All he needs to do when they're hungry is to send somebody from this village to this village and say, we're hungry. What would they do? What would they do? Sorry, what would they do? Would they ever go hungry again? Would they ever go hungry again? That's the reason why God doesn't want anything to happen to you again, because the blood covenant has been caught. Am I communicating with somebody? And he has promised in blood. And he said, what things soever you desire when you pray. Prayer is a covenant cry out for help. That's why you must never take no for an answer. Listen, if these guys are affected by anybody, they just come and slap his face. He doesn't need to fight. As soon as they're slapping his face, he just tells you, run to village A, tell them somebody is slapping us. They will follow that village to the seventh generation, wipe it all out. That's why God says, no weapon formed shall what? Why? For your righteousness. That means you are in blood covenant with me now. I'm going to do what I promise you, even if it means I leave my throne to get it done. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
No, is somebody catching something today? Yes. That's the reason why you read all those things, you don't get them. They're deep things. They're covenant things. So God decided to cut a blood covenant with Abraham. Now you are ready. Hebrews 6. Guys, stay, stay, stay. How many of you remember covenant in the Bible, in the book of Genesis? Joshua, you remember? Joshua, God said, take care of all this land, kill everybody. Some group of guys decided, and they brought bread, and they lied to Joshua, the Gibeonites. How many of you remember? They lied to him and said, come into covenant with us. We're from far place. And they entered that covenant. It was a lie. How many of you remember? As soon as they left, some other people just attacked them. And they just sent a message to Joshua. We're being attacked, and you're in covenant with us. Come and fight for us. Do you know Joshua did not have to think he's got to go fight? You know why? Because in covenant, you've got one another back. You guys keep saying, I got my back. God's got my back. Now look at this guy. The two of them will now stand like this. Guess what? This one is fighting, and this one is planting. Can they ever lack? That's what Christ has done for us. Now, Hebrews 6, I round up. Anybody there? Hebrews 6, are you there, my dude? From verse 11. Hebrews 6, 11. And desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. 12, that you be not slothful followers of them who through faith and patience, that's Abraham, inherited the word. Good. 13. Everybody read. Now, stop. You know, in America, your own swearing is abusing somebody. That's the reason why you don't value covenant, you don't understand it. In Africa, when you swear, listen to me. If something happens somewhere and they want to end it, they ask you, who do you worship? And you say you worship God, they give you a Bible. And say, they'll tell you to swear. And say, if I'm the one that did this thing, in 3 days' time, let something happen to me by my Bible. You know, they stop arguing with you. If the guy is a Muslim, they give him a Quran. Then if the other one is an idol worshiper, they give you whatever you worship. That's why, listen, guys, listen. They swore by himself. When Abraham was saying, God, how am I going to be sure that I'm going to get this? You know what God did? God swore an oath and said, the day a jot of my word fails you, I leave my throne. That was what God Abraham fully. He swore by himself, look at it, 14, everybody, saying, surely, I will what? Multiplying, 15, and so, he obtained, 7, 16, Now, where there is any fight or strife or anything anywhere, when the two people can swear by the gods they worship, that's the end of that discussion. Am I talking?
Yes, sir.
Nobody will call you any name again. They will just be waiting for that greater God to deal with you. That's exactly what God did to Abraham. That you are doubting me. Okay, get me Haifa, shed the blood. Let me walk and cut the blood covenant with you. Now, you quote this scripture, but you guys don't know what it means. An end to all strife. Go to the next one. Everybody. Now, sorry, who are those that are the heirs of Abraham here? Now, you see, you guys don't know Abraham, and you're wondering, how can this Bible written how many years ago? How can the promise, how can you tell me to base my life on somebody's promise? How many years ago, the guy I don't even know. It was because of you and I, God was cutting the covenant. Wearing to show to you and the ones coming behind you. The immutability. You know what that immutability means? It means he's not going to shake. That's why the Bible says in the book of James, God in whom there's no word, variableness, no shadow of turning. Whatever he says is going to do it. Why? Because every promise has been signed in blood. That's why the Bible says, in Christ, all the promises of God. Yes and amen. You take that promise, yes and amen. Guess what? It doesn't matter how, anyhow, when you begin to lay a demand on your covenant, blood covenant signed in blood by Jesus on your behalf. When you ask and demand, heaven has no choice than to answer you. That was what Abraham knew. And the Bible says two things. Look at it. Confirmed by an oath. Go to the next one. Can you see? Two what? By which? For God to what? Now, you know the two things. The first one was the blood covenant. The next one was the oath. God swore an oath and he cut a blood covenant. Once those two things were done, Abraham was fully. All he needed to do and all you all need to do is to remind yourself of the covenant you've got with God. That's why when you were testifying in the name of Jesus, you guys don't understand. Jesus' name is a covenant name. Every covenant has a code. Every covenant has a promise. Every covenant has the way they run their thing. So when you use that name, they want to check you out whether you belong, whether you are in the cult of God. You are now a cult member. You have now been initiated into the league of God. That's why he said, by two immutable things by which it is impossible for God to lie. You know, based on this, Abraham was persuaded that if God said it, I'm not interested in how he gets it done. You know why? Because he has sworn a covenant and he has cut an oath. Now, when Joshua and the Gibeonites cut the blood covenant, how many of you remember the story? When Saul came along many years later,
He disregarded that covenant and he went to kill them. How many of you know that God hunted him and they had to deal with him? Bow down your heads. You have been doubting God. The promises of God. I'm the Lord thy healer. I am the Lord that healed you. It was signed in blood. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. It was signed in blood. How do you now use this covenant? When you quote the word, you present the terms of the covenant and you say, Lord, you said in your word. Every time you say, God, you said in your word, you are invoking the covenant. He says you will lend to nations that you will not borrow. Until you present your covenant right before God in prayer. That's why prayer is a covenant thing. That's why any promise that he has given you, he can never fail. It has been signed in blood. He said, I would rather lose my throne than make any promise I gave you to fail. God is calling out to everybody. He's saying, trust my word. But the only way you can do that with him is to know the promise, know the word, whatever he has promised you, he can do it. But you got to lay a demand for it. When you are sick and you say, the Lord, you are my healer. You said so. You said it in blood. You promised me. I have come to claim it. He's got no choice than to give it to you. Bow down your heads and begin to pray. Any covenant promise, take it. Covenant doesn't even think of your sin any longer. That's why Jesus Christ said, when you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He didn't talk about sin until he had said, give us this day our daily bread. Covenant covers your sin. Sin is covered in covenant. That's why the Bible says he's not ashamed to be called our brother. Jesus is not ashamed to be called your brother. The Bible says he came to help the children of Abraham. I don't care the situation you are facing. Get the promise of God from the word. Present it in prayer. And God will move heaven and earth to confirm his word. Bow down your head. Begin to talk to him. He has promised. And he will never fail. But you know what? If you don't know the promise, you're in trouble. And I will follow. You got to know the promise. What are you standing upon? He has promised. He will never fail. His faithfulness. His faithfulness is forever. Let me take that song again, and then I'll pray for the people. He has promised. He will never. You're not a man that you should lie. You said it in your word. You swore an oath. I will follow him. It's forever,
man. It's forever. It's faithfulness. It's forever.
I like the testimony of the sister that said she had a bill to pay. And she was fasting and she said, Lord, you said, he said, Lord, cover my shame. The Bible says that's a covenant promise. Say, whosoever believe in him shall not be put to shame. You guys, you see, that's why I don't like people that don't value the word. Because the word is the key to the covenant. Now I want to pray. Anybody in debt today? Bow down your head. Let's stand up. Now stand on the word of God. It says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be put to shame. Now you've heard that he's cut a blood covenant. He said the old covenant was cut with man that had failures, a man that would always die. He now made Jesus a man that had a perfect body and would never fail. And the covenant, the new covenant we cut, was between Jesus and God. And the Bible says we have a better covenant based on better promises. I want you to take the promise of God right now. He said you will lend to nations, you will not borrow. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. I stand here based on that blood covenant. based on the word that has been preached today, everyone that is standing, my Father, confirm your word in their lives. Let them not be put to shame. And I command the resources and the power of heaven to come towards you. And I declare that every one of you will have a testimony. I call you out of debt in the name of Jesus. I call you out of debt in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the angels of the covenant be released and begin to make a way for God's people to be out in Jesus' name. Now, all of you that are standing, begin to give him thanks right now based on his promises. Anytime the debt comes to your mind, speak to it. Speak to it. Remove the jacket. Do it. Finish.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.